Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pastrnak shoots, he scores! David Pastrnak, a snapper from the right circle. That's 403. He's fit all time in Bruins history all by himself. Here's Pastrnak, walks in, shoots, he scores! His second goal of the night and his fourth point of the evening. Bruins 6, Jets 3. And the horn sounds. The Bruins win. Hampus Lindholm, your game winner. That came in the second period and the Bruins pulled away in the third. They have now won 4 consecutive games.
Pasta La Vista, baby, is pretty good.
Yeah, I guess. I guess we'll take it. No, I don't know. I was kind of caught off guard, but Pasta La Vista, baby.
Pasta La Vista, baby!
Oh, fine. We'll take it.
It's no Washington Monument.
No. It's fine.
Why? You don't like it?
No, I don't. I like fine. I don't love it.
I mean, look, we got a friend of the show, Drew Carter, on the program last week.
That's right.
We have Will Fleming quitting Twitter over. Where's his clock at, by the way?
Oh, we have till 4:22 today.
Yeah. We got another
all the time in the world for
five plus hours on.
For a big smile.
I'm affectionately calling, since he had the issue with Will Clark earlier this year, the Will Clock.
Oh, the Will Clock?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
The Will Clock.
That's snappy.
That's really counting down. He's running out of room on that one.
Yeah, that's all right.
But anyway, that was Judge Surratt on the call. Pasta La Vista, baby.
Bruins are rolling.
He's back. McAvoy's back.
Yes.
McAvoy was a +4 last night, I think it was.
That sounds right.
7 points in 2 games for Pastrnak. Another couple of goals last night. 2 goals, 5 assists. Last 2, Bruins have won, 4 in a row now. And it's not just Monty that they're beating up
on. Right.
That first period last night, Keith.
Yeah.
When you have
Although
both
Winnipeg's
those...
no good, but either,
no,
way,
they're not.
Either way.
But they're better than St. Louis. Watching that first period last night, it was a fun period where a million goals. Bruins scored 3 goals and 240 whatever.
Pasta La Vista, baby!
To really put themselves out in front, like a fun period.
Yeah.
That's
power play going, yep.
Not a Swayman game where they're winning that, which isn't as easy as it might seem with Corpy in there. But they get McAvoy and Pastrnak back. And for a while, I'm going, well, what's wrong with this team? Why have they started to play down and hit a funk? And maybe they're just... similar to the Celtics are finally playing the way we expected. We'll get to them in a moment. And now the Bruins are kind of playing the way we expected, too?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's overly simplistic, and maybe I didn't give it enough credit at the time, but you get Pastrnak back, you get McAvoy back. This is how they look.
Yeah, 100%. I think the number of games played with Lindholm and McAvoy is not very many games. And so they are a different team when they have both those guys out there. And so we'll see how long that lasts. You know, fingers crossed it can. Fingers crossed that you're going to have, McAvoy for an extended period of time. Because remember, we had no idea what the timetable was with him, right? Especially in hockey, when they put guys on IR, it's like 3 games, it's 30 games, it's like all over the map. And remember, there's like, he should be good for the Olympics. Like the Olympics are in February.
They got his first game back wasn't for Team USA in the Olympics,
no,
honestly.
That
would have pissed me off.
But then I was thinking, like, all right, so that means like he's at least out for December. Yeah. If they're talking about that. And you're like, no, he's already back now. All right, so that's good to see. And he's playing well. You had him, you know, he had big minutes. Hampus Lindholm out there, he's been super valuable. I still go back to that when he returned the last time and... Marco Sturm basically like hugged and kissed him afterwards. He was like, thank God this guy's back. So sort of showing you how important he thinks he is. So when they have a full squad, they're not a, you know, gagging for Gavin type of team. I still don't know if they're a playoff team, though. Like, I think when it all kind of shakes out, they are starting to catch up. They've now played the same number of games as Detroit, but every other team in the division has played fewer games. So, like, those once those games get made up, they could still get passed by. No, but they are overall doing better than I would have expected.
No, for sure. Did you see, since we brought up the Olympics, this just jumped back into my head, did you see, like, they're having massive problems with, like...
They're like, if the ice is bad, we're not playing. You're like, well,
it's not even that. It's the rink's too short.
The rink's...
Small rink.
The rink's not the right size. Small rink. I mean, who among us?
Yeah, well...
You know, let's not rink shame.
How are they measuring it?
Yeah, it's cold in there. It's a rink. It's cold
freezing.
In there.
Freezing. Although, from
but what, now they're all upset about the ice, too, right? Or, like, what the ice might be. From what I read, I was just trying to pull it up quickly. I don't even think they can make the ice yet. They don't even have, like, all the materials and supplies and everything else to, like, even make the ice to know what it's going to be like. And so,
but correct me if I'm wrong.
Long story short, there may be no NHL players in the Olympics.
I think there will be. And so this is what I feel like. Every time there is an Olympics outside of the United States or, like, a World Cup outside of the United States, you get all these stories about how the venues aren't ready, this, that, and the other thing's a mess, this is a disaster, they're destroying this, this won't be ready. I feel like they all end up going off, right? They all end up working somehow.
I mean, no? NHL players are the ones that don't, right? Were they in the last Olympics, or was it two Olympics ago?
Oh, no, but that was their... But they played hockey in the Olympics. Well, they made the decision not to send the NHL players.
No, there will be hockey in this Olympics, I bet.
Oh, yeah,
but, like, is it going to be NHL players?
But they didn't pull them because of the rink last time. They knew going into it they weren't going to send... They did, like, I think maybe even took two Olympics off, right? But that was the plan all along. It had nothing to do with, like, rink size. I'm just saying, you always hear about Olympics. Remember when there was, like, the thought about coming to Boston and everybody was like, hell no. It's because, like, you tear these cities upside down and then the Olympics show up, the Olympics leave, and then you're left with nothing. And then you end up just boarding up these buildings.
It's
a mess.
Giant grift. Yeah.
But you hear about it, like, the swimming pools aren't ready, or you hear about it, like, the track and field stadium's not ready. But then I feel like they end up getting it together somehow, some way. So, but I know I did read those stories about how there might not be hockey, but my guess is there will be hockey.
Okay. Well, at least it's not McAvoy's first game back.
No, that's true.
He comes back last night. Big lift for the Bruins. He almost scored, but big lift. They win 6-3. One more game on the road trip at Minnesota, which is Winnipeg South.
Yeah.
And then they're back
home. Team.
Yeah, no, they are. But, like, you already look at it. Pretty successful road trip. I mean, they're going to be
for sure.
Successful trip no matter what, I guess, even if they drop this final game. And so when they're healthy, you start to wonder again what the Bruins actually are. And I have a tougher time figuring them out because they played so many more games than everybody else. Their standing within the conference always looks inflated to me, or within the division always looks inflated to me. But when they're healthy, maybe this is what they're going to be, and they are going to be a playoff team. Because was it two days ago in the crossover with Hart?
We were like, no.
Yeah, we're like, they're not a playoff team. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, now that McAvoy and Pastrnak are here, maybe.
Going into the season, what was it to make the playoffs? Plus 400?
Yeah, like 340 or something like that.
Yeah, expect it. But even we looked a couple weeks ago, Greg Wyshynski was breaking down the entire division, and they were like, they're the worst team in the division. I'm like, really? Because now, even if you say, let's say all these teams win all their games in hand, which is no guarantee, but just for the sake of argument, if they win all their games in hand, they're not all going to pass the Bruins by. The Bruins are still there. But I think when you're looking at it, like, do you think Toronto and Florida, for example, the rest of the way
are going to stink?
Are going to be worse than the Bruins?
No, this is why we never did. Maybe it came up briefly here and there, but we never were like, oh, man, the Bruins have the Leafs pick. Like, I mean, it's another first-round pick, but that's not going to be a good pick at the end of the day.
I feel like they're probably going to turn it around. And we're not at the halfway point yet, but we're getting close, right? The Bruins have played 32 games. A lot of these other teams in the division have played 30. So it's a good sample size. And so the Bruins are ahead of where I thought they would be. But it's, I don't know. I still wouldn't feel confident betting on them to make the playoffs. I think there's enough teams below them that aren't playing great and could turn it around.
By the way, here's a good example of one of the things that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Weren't they supposed to swim in the Seine in Paris? Weren't they supposed to swim in that and then... They had all kinds of, like, fecal matter in there.
Oh, yeah, they had poop, but I feel like those events didn't get canceled. Didn't they put them? They must have put them somewhere else.
They canceled them. They didn't swim in the river.
I thought they sectioned off a part of it that was.
Did they swim?
Yeah, they did. They didn't, like, I don't think they've canceled events. They might have,
they didn't move them, like, somewhere else. They didn't move them inside.
A little bit of poop in the water. Swim faster. Get away from it.
Wait, so they swam in the poop river? I don't remember. You're the Olympics guy. I'm not the Olympics
part of the
guy.
Poop river. I think Nick might be right about that.
I thought they sectioned off a part of it, and it was like, this part's good. Don't worry about it.
No, that's how rivers work. It's dirty upstream, and it's dirty downstream, but that one area in the middle, definitely clean. That water's not flowing through there, so don't worry about it. That's totally how rivers work.
Yeah, I guess that was twice. It looks like there's been two different issues. There was in Rio in 2016. Then they said Paris in 2024. There was they needed some cleanup in order to get those things going.
All right.
I know.
617-779.
You could probably row in there.
You could do that.
The water stink.
You could kayak a little bit or something.
What was that, Nick?
The water stink.
From the Rio Olympics.
That
guy's from the Rio Olympics.
He wasn't lying.
That's trying to make the ice in Italy is what that is.
Yeah.
Our pal Mark in Medford wants to discuss the Bruins, as he usually does. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. How's it going?
Good.
Well, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season after 32 games that the Bruins would be in first place and Toronto and Florida would be where they are, I would say you were nuts. But I do know that, you know, Tkachuk and Barkov are out for Florida. But, man, they're bad. They're really bad in Toronto. That's like a team without a country right now.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to stay as bad as they are. Like, ask me what's more likely, the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Bruins as a playoff team? I'd probably still say Toronto. Now, they've played two fewer games than the Bruins. They're, what, 5 points back?
Uh-huh.
But my guess is they're still more of a playoff team than the Bruins at the end of the day, which is why I never went hog wild about that pick. It's an extra first-round pick.
Yeah.
But people were acting like it might be top of the lottery or something like that, which
is silly.
It's
not just the division. It's so early to look at the standings, obviously, but the wild card teams right now would both be from the Metro. So if you look at the whole Eastern Conference as a whole, it seems like the Atlantic is down. But they might only get three playoff teams.
That's
true. You got to look at it that way, too.
Also, they're technically not in first place right now.
No,
they played one more game than Tampa, but I get Mark's point.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Celtics, to me, I thought were a little easier to figure out until last night.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well,
actually, it's pretty clear what happened.
Okay, they were cruising against Milwaukee. They were up double digits in the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
Looked like they were going to do what they do again. Milwaukee's been horrendous without Giannis. I think prior to last night, they only had one win without Giannis. They were above 500 with him, so they've been like a completely different team without him. Unlike the Celtics, who, by the way, don't seem to miss Tatum at all, but I digress. They lose by 15 last night. They get outscored 27-13 in the third quarter. They couldn't make a three.
Oh, they went icy cold. They were talking about it on the broadcast. I think they missed 16 consecutive threes to start the second half. And Scal's like, I know there's been worse, but like it doesn't feel like it. Basically, it was like, I don't remember it being like this bad. It like didn't matter who was shooting them. And then by the end, when it was all said and done, they went 14-49. From three. Sam Hauser has never looked worse. Sam Hauser was
not a good game for
Hauser. 9 from 3, 0 of 10 from the floor.
That was another they were joking about that on the broadcast, which they don't normally joke about how crappy guys are.
He's like, he's the worst.
And they're like, Hauser, it was his homecoming, it didn't work out. This was one you could throw in the garbage.
Especially when your one thing that you do is shoot, and he couldn't do it last night.
Scal and our guy Drew.
That was a tough go. It was a tough watch because that third quarter, they just melted down. They scored, what was it, 67 points at the half. They came out and scored 13 in the third quarter. Just like couldn't throw it in the ocean and then weren't doing anything differently. And then they allowed the Bucks, led by Bobby Portis and Kevin Porter Jr.
Okay, so this is what I was just going to say. Is this a game you throw out? Because the Bucks got hot in the third quarter. Portis couldn't miss. Kuzma had a good game. He was a triple-double for Kevin Porter Jr.
Do you remember the Kevin Porter Jr. story, by the way? So I found it odd that...
I don't think so.
So Jaylen Brown and Kevin Porter, they like hugged each other before the game.
They had a big embrace at the end of the game, too.
So
I noticed that. I don't know what their backstory is, but I saw they had a big hug at the end of the game.
So I'm the WAG guy. So you remember the WNBA player that Jaylen Brown took to the ESPYs?
Yes.
So she has like a hard to pronounce name, but she used to go out with Kevin Porter, and then he got arrested for like a domestic thing involving her. So I was like, what is this going to be like? Because we talked about it, I think, last year when it happened. But no, they were like hugging each other before and after the game. And that guy had the game of his life. He was insane. He was all over the place. Triple-double.
He was hitting shots and dancing around after he hit him.
How about Bobby Portis, though? Like, getting in Jaylen Brown's face. And, like, he was all kinds of fired up. So, yeah, they on the one hand, I guess you could say, like, hey, it's a one-off and you got really cold. But on the other hand, it's like, you were up big. It was a very winnable game against the Bucks without Giannis. Like, I don't know. I think that's one you'd like to have back. I wouldn't say it's as bad as, like, the Utah Jazz loss or the Brooklyn Nets loss.
No.
But it's pretty bad. I mean, that's a below 500 team, and you'd already played most of the game where you had this big lead.
What I think is annoying about it is they had been shooting less threes. Terp told us this a couple of weeks ago. I was yelling at him. Terp was right.
Yeah.
They had started to shoot less threes. They still shoot a ton of them compared to the rest of the league, but they're down from a year ago, and you wonder if what was happening early in the year, Missoula was starting to adjust a little bit. Last night was just, you know, cover your eyes and huck again. I'm not saying they were all bad shots,
yeah,
but 49 threes attempted last night is up for them, and they weren't making anything. And I just,
no.
I was kind of hoping they were past that,
mm-hmm,
which maybe was foolish on my end, but I was kind of hoping they were past that where, hey, the threes aren't falling. We don't need to keep forcing them. Like, we have other guys who can score. We have other ways to score and other opportunities. It is still the Bucks, to your point, on the other side. And, yeah, I don't want to let them off the hook for a loss like that. I know Scal was doing some of this. We were joking about it yesterday. It's like, yeah, oh, they haven't played in a while. They're rusty. It's like, well, when they play too much, you complain. When they don't play enough, you complain. Like, what's the Goldilocks zone
where
it's the right amount of games?
Every 2 days.
The Bucks are horrible.
Days.
You were well-rested. You were up by double digits in the second half. You shouldn't lose that game. And the fact they just kept blindly hucking threes and miss after miss after miss, and they failed to alter it and adjust, bothered me watching.
And it showed you another way to win, too. And I don't think that the Celtics are going to drastically change what they do. But the Milwaukee Bucks in that third quarter, they outscored the Celtics 27-13. The Bucks made two threes. So even though they were down,
yeah,
and needed to climb back into the game.
Porter started making it in the fourth quarter, I guess. That's true. That's when he started.
Yeah,
like,
he started
really
to make some. But even for the game, like, the team didn't make a ton of threes. But that third quarter where they really turned the game around, they were still going to the basket, hitting a bunch of twos. They got to the free throw line a little bit. And that was actually Kyle Kuzma had a big quarter, too, in the third. But that's what we're talking about. Like, Kuzma and Bobby Portis and Kevin Porter, and they're just kind of taking it to you, and you had no response. And it seemed like they would miss a three at one end. It would start to pile up, and now you're like, oh, my God, another missed three. But then defensively, and the Bucks did hit some, like, tough shots, but they also, I don't know, like, they weren't as locked in, the Celtics, on defense.
Text line says, holy hell, Jones, they don't miss Tatum. How are you saying that after this loss? All I was saying is the Bucks have been truly horrific without Giannis.
It's a good way of looking at it.
They're now 2-7 without Giannis with the win last night, a game the Celtics should have won.
Here's how
the Celtics are 15-10 without Tatum, and they won playoff games without him last year. That's all I was saying.
Well, they won one.
They won two. They beat Orlando last year too. They won a game against the Knicks. Against Orlando.
But Tatum, it's almost like the Patriots without Brady that year, and then the Bucks are the Colts without Manning.
Yes.
It's what it is. It's like, oh, you have nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, at least the Celtics have Jaylen Brown and they have some other stuff and they can be competitive and pretty good. Yeah, no one's going to pick them to win the whole thing without Tatum. But, yeah, they're not just, like, going to a shell like pretty much the Bucks have done without Giannis.
617-779-7937. We will get to the Will Fleming clock. We're calling that the Will clock is what we're doing.
I think we're 5 hours away, right?
We are, less than 5 hours. Oh, no, you're right. Right about 5 hours.
His
tweet
hours.
Was after 4 o'clock,
yeah,
so you're right.
Yeah.
For Red Sox fans to smile.
It's quiet. Maybe too quiet.
It is interesting. Like, what are we actually rooting for? Are we rooting for the Red Sox to do something in that window? Are we rooting them to do something, but it's really embarrassing and minor? Or are we rooting for a move, like a big move, just after the end of the clock? Save your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I have thoughts.
I want to get back into it. You proposed this before the show. It's a good question. Like, what are we actually rooting for when it comes to Will Fleming's prediction? Some updates from Sean McAdam on the Red Sox not wanting to spend long term, which I think we could all deduce on our own, but we'll catch you up to speed on that. 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Friday. We got Keith's Keys, the Pats and Bills coming up at 1. Week in review at 12:45. Mike and Wenu on the way on a Patriots Friday. Plus, right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's the Friday 4-Pack.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday, Philip Pack, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Patriots Friday. Mike Onwenu will join us in, I think, the 1 o'clock hour. That's typically where he joins us.
All right, Big Mike.
Thumbs up back there. Do we have
thumbs
any estimate
on the
time?
Thumbs up in the back.
Onwenu?
Sounds about right.
Okay.
TBD
is typically what that is. Patriots versus.
Just don't go anywhere. And then that way you won't miss Mike Onwenu.
I hear that.
Oh, I do hear it.
Keith's keys to Pats and Bills. We already gave you some thoughts on the game, but don't lock in anything.
No.
Until you hear all the keys.
It
they come
change.
Your way at 1 o'clock. Plus, we got the week in review at 12:45. But the Friday 4-pack brought to you by New Car Toyota and Hyundai of North Kingstown. You remember Tarbox?
Yeah.
It's now New Car Hyundai and Toyota in North Kingstown. Same great people, same great place with thousands of vehicles. You can discover why everyone loves a new car. 4-pack of questions, Bill, on Patriots and Bills. What's up first?
Better duo, Stephon Diggs and Travion Henderson, or Khalil Shakir and James Cook?
Pats duo.
So you know what? As much as I think the Patriots' overall receivers, running backs, tight ends are better, if you're only taking two, I think James Cook is clearly the best non-quarterback on offense. So
yeah,
I think
that's
probably true. I think I would side with them. Because Travion Henderson hasn't been super consistent. I love Steph Diggs. He's way better than Khalil Shakir. But I feel like James Cook is significantly better than both those other guys. So I'd actually take that. As soon as you add a third player, it's Pats for me. Fourth player, fifth player, it's definitely Pats. But I think James Cook's that good. I think he's like a top five running back in the league.
I would take the Pats duo, and it's no disrespect to James Cook. It's just Khalil Shakir is such a schmeh, and I like him. He's a very solid, fine receiver.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd take the Pats duo there.
He's like a Pop Douglas.
I think Diggs...
I don't think Shakir's even that much better than that.
Tell me if you like this logic.
All right.
I think Diggs is closer to Cook than Shakir is to Henderson. Is that a fair way to look at it, or do you just disagree with that?
I would disagree. I think Cook is like threatening to be an all-pro.
Oh, so you're disagreeing with that gap, not the Henderson to Khalil Shakir gap.
Yeah, no, not that one as much. I just think...
You just think Cook is that much better.
Yeah, like no knock on Steph Diggs, but we're saying like if this, that, and the other thing happens, he might squeeze out 1,000 yards. Like I love Diggs, but like what is James Cook going to end the season with?
He might pass Taylor for most rushing yards.
Yeah.
Oh, Taylor, with Phillip Rivers, Taylor's going to slow down.
So right now, if you just do the projections, he is on pace for a 1,700-yard rushing season.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
Oh, that's great.
That's fine.
That might lead the league.
Yeah. The other guy there, it's not just James Cook or Steph Diggs. I got to deal with Khalil Shakir and the other
piece. Yeah, but Khalil Shakir might have, 700 yards. Diggs might have 800.
Diggs
is better. Trust me, I like Diggs way more.
Taking stats out of it, who would you rather have?
Oh, Diggs.
And I think if you put stats into it, how much better is he really than Booty and Hollins? And is he even better than Booty and Hollins? Like, where would he be
Shakir?
in the receiver room?
Honestly, I wouldn't even really want him. But I'm just saying, I think right now, and Henderson could continue to get better, but right now the gap between Cook and Henderson is huge.
Okay, I'll take the Pats. Right. He's got the Bills. What else, Billy?
Will Josh Allen be a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Small hall guys.
I am a small hall guy, but I say yes.
No.
I think there's room. I think they love quarterbacks, and we'll see what happens with this wave. Obviously, Phillip Rivers is going to come off the ballot. But if guys like Eli end up getting in, and if, who's the other one? Like Breeze, obviously. Like all these guys get in. Josh Allen already has one MVP, one runner-up MVP, a third and a fifth place finish, and he's not even 30. So, yeah, I think he gets in the Hall of Fame.
How many quarterbacks, and this, I mean, maybe I should have done my research on it. How many quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame haven't won a Super Bowl? Like Marino. And I'm sure there are more, like Rivers is a good one. There are probably more than I'm thinking of.
All right, so Dan Marino never won. Dan Fouts never won. Did Fran Tarkenton? Or he did?
Fouts is in the Hall of Fame.
Fouts is in the Hall of Fame.
Tarkenton didn't win.
All right, Fran Tarkenton. Warren Moon.
Yep. I'd have none of those guys in my Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, Marino. Marino I'd have. I'd have none of the other guys. Rivers I wouldn't put in. So you got to win. I mean, to me, you're a quarterback. You have to win a Super Bowl, or you better be Dan Marino. Like short of that, I don't know if he's that. So I would say no. No, I don't think he's going to win, so no.
Dan Marino won how many MVPs? One. Yep. So, yeah, I think Josh Allen will get in. I think it's probably a little bit easier at like a high-profile position
will
like that.
Will he get in, I guess? And you're asking will he.
Wasn't that the question?
But it is, but now I'm changing it. But my Hall of Fame, I wouldn't put him in for that reason.
But I'm not putting him in like today. Like if he retired Andrew Luck style, he's not getting in.
Right.
But I think he's going to have a handful more years similar to what he's done, and then therefore I think he would get in.
Okay. I say no. Wow, we disagreed on each of these.
Oh, my God.
Embrace
a real
debate.
Fight over
Embrace
here. It's like
debate,
old Skip
Keith.
And Stephen A.
That is true. Kellerman and Stephen A.
Oh, yeah. Who else?
Janet Jarp and Stephen A.
Cam Newton and Stephen A. famously.
Yeah, it really is like that. What else, Billy?
If the Bills don't win the Super Bowl this year, what should they do?
I think they got to get a new GM.
Oh, yeah. So I was just going to say fire McDermott. Duh.
Probably McDermott. Yeah, McDermott's out. I have no allegiance to McDermott. You got to get Josh Allen a wide receiver. Like you have to. That was one thing. And then their defense has to get better, too.
So when you say get him a receiver, you mean trade for
somebody
a veteran?
Good.
Trade
yeah.
for a veteran who I don't know who the free agent receivers are. Diggs could potentially be one. I don't think he's going back there.
I'm not sure who it is. I'm sure there'll be a list again.
But you're not saying like draft one highly, right? You're saying go get like an established
guy. I wouldn't do that. Like look at the difference that Davante Adams has made for Matt Stafford. Now they already had Puka Nacua, so like they don't have that, the Bills. But I'm saying like Josh Allen's going to be 30. And draft and developing, you just tried it with Keon Coleman. That seems like a swing and a miss. If there's somebody there, great. But I think you also need to add somebody else and see if he can get going. Like, I don't know who that guy is. Like,
okay, so
the Steelers just got DK Metcalf. Like, there's been some names moving.
Let me give you some names. So if Justin Jefferson gets all pissy in Minnesota,
oh my God,
that's like a really high-end one. What about
A.J. Brown?
Okay, oh, sorry, Duck.
Sure.
Great one.
A.J. Brown,
didn't even think about
one.
That. I was about to say Pickens, who I think the Cowboys are going to franchise. But
Slim
like,
Pickens, yeah.
Somebody like that.
Also, see if Brian Daboll will come back and be the OC. Right? Like, I don't think you want him to be your head coach, but I know Josh Allen won the MVP last year, but his real breakout year where he almost won the MVP, it was Daboll. And they seem to be not loving, was it Joe Brady up there?
Yep, Joe Brady's the play caller. So pretty much your answer is burn it down outside of Josh Allen.
Yeah,
which
and
I
Cook, who you know I like.
No, there. But like, no new GM, new
I
coach,
think they have to.
Big ticket wide receiver.
Because this isn't
this
just,
current GM hates receivers. He's like on record.
He doesn't
even like
doesn't.
Him. So,
but this is another. This is a team that has finally. They didn't even have to go through Mahomes this year, so or Burrow. So that's what like obviously things are like. Let's say they get to the Super Bowl and lose to the Rams. Then you could probably make a good case you don't burn it down.
Text line literally just said
did they really?
If the Bills lose
52
to 50 to the Rams on the last play of the Super Bowl, do they need to do all that? Maybe not in that specific scenario.
No, not that. I think because if they played the Rams, they'd probably be an underdog, and it would also be their first Super Bowl appearance. So, no, to their point, no, I wouldn't do that. But if they don't make it out of the AFC this year and they end up losing to either Bo Nix, Drake May, or C.J. Stroud, like, when else would it be more open for you?
Yeah, I think the window's kind of shut, but that doesn't mean you stop trying. I think if they can't win this year, and I don't think they're going to, I think the window's kind of shut, but again, that doesn't mean you stop trying. And so you start with the head coach, add the GM to the list, and then, Josh Allen needs some help.
He does. He needs some help.
Because as you said yesterday, the Patriots stopped giving receivers to Brady at a certain point. They stopped giving Mahomes, certainly, some of these weapons.
Yeah, but at least those guys had won multiple Super Bowls.
Right. This guy's never won. He hasn't proven he can win without that.
I know.
So get him that. What's the last one, Bill?
Will a team ever lose four straight Super Bowls again?
No. No way. I mean, there's that long streak where I think it's been broken, but teams that lose the Super Bowl wouldn't even get back to the playoffs,
right.
Let alone get back to the Super Bowl.
So
that's tough to do.
I agree. You're not going to get four in a row. Could you get another?
Plus four straight losers. Because maybe you get a win. The other conference is bad that year. Like if you're that good to get there four straight times, my guess is find a way to win one of them.
In theory, the Chiefs could still get to a four straight. I don't think they're going to, but they could.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's – yeah, no.
But it wouldn't would all be
does
losses.
It does not seem like they will.
So I – do you think there could be another, because I'm with you, there won't be four consecutive losers like Buffalo. That takes a special kind of giant loser.
It's amazing.
But could you get, like, the Vikings that kind of lost four in a smaller amount of time. Did Elway get to three and lose before he got back? I think Elway was three.
Yeah, he might have.
So, like, can you get something like that? Maybe.
I would say,
like a guy who keeps getting there.
I would say one rung earlier, like when the Eagles went to four straight conference championship games. That's more likely. But there's so much parity in the league. Like, that's, we talked about that a lot this season. When you take a look at the standings, and I know they're not there anymore, but a week ago it was the Bears and the Patriots were the number one seeds after being, you know, in the case of the Patriots, terrible last year. The Bears finished really poorly. They both had new coaches. It seems like there's a lot of turnover where even having the stud MVP quarterback right now isn't guaranteeing you anything.
More quarterbacks who didn't win who are in the MVP, in the Hall of Fame, rather. Archie Manning is in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, probably. They love the Mannings.
Gross.
They love them.
And Jim Kelly. We forgot about Jim Kelly.
Oh, Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly is a pretty obvious one. Should Jim Kelly be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if Archie Manning's in the Hall of Fame.
Is he not? That's what the text line claimed.
I don't think he is.
I ran with it. He shouldn't be.
Archie Manning.
Like, you better be really,
he's
really,
not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, good. Really, like, an all-time difference-making quarterback like Dan Marino, if you're going to never have one at quarterback. Like, honestly, that's pretty high on my list for any Hall of Famer, but especially quarterback. If you haven't won, you better be, again, Marino. And maybe Allen is that. Maybe I'm too down on Allen, as you said, to be the same amount of MVPs no matter what Allen does.
All right, I got the list of quarterbacks now. Sammy Baugh.
He must have won. Maybe not a Super Bowl, but at least a championship.
Earl Clark? Yeah.
Okay.
You got him in there?
Nope.
Not my
Hall of Fame.
Jimmy, wait, what list is this? This is outrageous.
Gemini list?
This double check the this right list.
Slinging Sammy Baugh sounds right. I don't know.
All right,
the
here we go. Oh, yeah. This was quarterbacks / running backs, which guys, I guess they played both. That's like from the 30s. All right, let me scroll down.
Yeah,
Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
He won. George Blanda. Okay. Terry Bradshaw.
Yep.
Len Dawson.
Yep.
John Elway.
One.
Brett Favre.
One.
Dan Fouts.
I think I found a list of 10.
Okay.
No, there's more. I got it right here.
No, he's saying 10.
No, the list of 10 that haven't won.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tuffy Lehman, Sammy Baugh, Ace Parker, Y.A. Tittle, Charlie Trippi.
Yeah, but don't, wait, hang on. Some of those are guys who didn't win Super Bowls. The Super Bowl didn't exist. Like,
yeah,
those don't
but they
count.
Didn't exist because they don't
won championships.
Like Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, Tarkenton counts.
And then Fouts, Marino, Warren, Kelly.
Yeah, so it is a smaller group, but
it is smaller.
I probably have none of those guys in there outside of Marino. Mm-hmm. Like,
Tuffy Lehman's had 26 pass attempts in his career.
How many did he complete?
He's a good player.
12 for 198 yards.
12 for 26 in his career.
Put him in.
Philip Rivers is
but
like
Belichick could give
Philip
you a
Rivers
tight hour
for that this
on
weekend.
Why that guy was effective as a quarterback. Yeah, so it really is. But also, we've started to see some of these guys. Like, I'm not putting Eli Manning in over.
No, that's fine, too.
Yeah,
you don't need to just put in guys who won
and were kind of dragged along by
their team. I would skew towards a player like Eli over Philip Rivers, though.
Who would
I would give the benefit of the doubt to a guy who especially won twice over a guy who never won anything in his life.
All right, if you had you were forced to bet one PS5 on the following.
PS5? Okay,
yeah,
my God.
You have to bet it.
Okay.
You can't like hold on to it or split it.
Yeah. I can't say no bet.
No bet. You have to bet it. You're only given the PS5 in order to bet it.
Oh, good.
Are you going to bet that Josh Allen wins a Super Bowl in his career or Joe Burrow wins a Super Bowl in his career?
Oh, I would bet on Allen in that scenario.
Yeah, it's funny because it doesn't feel realistic that either franchise could win, Bills and Bengals. Doesn't mean they have to play their whole careers for the team, but like.
I thought you were going to ask me Allen or Lamar. I would say Lamar for that one. But
those three guys think Lamar's the best chance to win a Super Bowl?
He's in the best situation out of all of them.
Yeah.
Best franchise, best situation.
Even though Burrow's the only one who's been there, I would probably go Allen, Lamar, Burrow.
I would go Lamar, Allen.
Okay.
But whatever. We both
what about
Burrow
Drake?
Best. Drake, top of the list.
Drake at the top.
Yeah, he's going to win this year.
Yeah.
He's going to win it this year. Not even going to be a debate
That's
anymore.
True.
After
he's
this
only a couple
year.
Months away from it.
Yeah, seriously. Johnny is in Brooklyn on our C's conversation. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. Just real quick, you know, the NBA season is pretty long. And if you look back at last year, 25 games in, I had it open. I was only going to go back 1 year because I'm a little lazy. But I think the Brooklyn Nets. And who else? A couple of these teams that ended up being pretty bad were around the Celtics, win-loss record this way through. So I don't believe in them, and I'm here for the tankathon. Thanks, guys.
Okay, he wants them to tank.
There's no
still.
Way. I don't like that. I disagree with
so
it.
Just,
here's why.
Just
so,
know what tankathon means, though. Tankathon means you get to like 13 or 14 in the lottery. That's what that means, and then you hope the ping pong balls bounce you all the way to one.
Oh, he wants that.
Well, that's the only thing that's realistic. They're never going to be the worst team in the league.
No kidding. So they have 15 wins right now.
Yeah.
There are, I would argue, three teams that might not even get to 15 wins
on the year.
The Wizards have three. The Pelicans have four right now.
Yeah.
So how many wins are they getting to?
The
Celtics could lose out and have a better record than those teams.
Also,
the Pacers have six.
Also,
the Nets have six.
Tatum's coming back. Like, people who are like, oh, don't bring Tatum.
No.
People who are like, don't bring Tatum back.
Well, oh, he's coming back.
Tell that to him. He clearly wants to come back. It's important for him to come back and play. He's going to be back. So whenever he comes back, he may not be vintage Tatum.
Yeah.
He's going to be back. They're not going to be that bad.
Yeah.
If you want to tell me maybe they sneak their way into the lottery because they lose in the play-in, fine. Then you're talking they're like 14 or something like that. Maybe. But they're not going to – they're not – you're right. The Wizards may not win 15 games all year, and the Celtics already have 15.
Yeah.
They could lose out, and the Wizards may not catch them.
Wait, so he said the Nets had the same record? So
he claimed – he said – I think he said close to if I – I don't recall his wording. Was it not?
They were 10 and 15.
Well, that's close. I think
Celtics are 15 and 10.
I think that, well, he's stretching the realm of closeness.
Okay.
There.
Well, I disagree. They're not in a tank situation. You might not buy them as a championship team, but I think they've clearly proven they're a playoff team, and that's with or without Tatum. But I agree with you. I think you will at some point have Tatum.
Okay. Super Bowl wins for Eli, but that's because his receivers made crazy catches. Not really what he did. The Manningham catch was like. That was not like an all-time crazy catch. The Tyree catch, I'll give you.
Tyree catch was silly.
The Manningham catch was like a brilliant playing catch.
That was a dart. I'll call it
like absolute dart.
That was a dart.
So, like, if you want to say the Tyree one is fluky, 100%. The Manningham one,
dart.
That was an awesome play.
No, that was a good throw.
A scamper.
I hate him, but that was a good throw.
Wasn't a scamper.
No, he doesn't do a lot of scampering.
It was a dart.
Although he somehow got out of the grasp there.
Should have blown the whistle. Should have blown the whistle on that one.
Protect the player, ref. One time.
617-779-7937. All your phone calls there. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking down on Will Fleming like an episode of 24. It is
getting there.
Beep boop. Beep boop.
I know.
Beep boop. We are under 5 hours for the Red Sox to do something to make us smile. Mm-hmm. Let's get to that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. Will Fleming, still living in a little pretend world there. Red Sox are going to get something done in the next 4.5 hours
the
hope.
Listen, I got time. I can wait. I'm here till 2, right?
I'm feeling the pressure of like a 24-hour, 24 episode, just like ticking down.
Yeah.
Beep, boop.
It's intense.
Beep, boop. Beep, boop.
It's like watching Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
He's on the edge of your seat.
Will is certainly not on Twitter, but he is somewhere really rooting for this to go down positively.
It can happen. He obviously was hearing things, and to his point, let me play his side of the street for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Did he say anything about Pete Alonso? No, he didn't.
No, he did not.
He just said something.
He made that quite clear in his tweets. He did not say anything about Pete Alonso.
No. So Pete Alonso is not the only man who could make you smile, Jones. There are other men out there that could make you smile if the Red Sox signed him or traded for him.
There's one I could make smile. I know that.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah.
But so it wasn't even about Pete Alonso. People might be.
I would hold my nose and give it to him. Yeah.
People are connecting dots that weren't even there.
Uh-huh.
Right? So why don't you lay off a little bit? There could be a big splash just around the corner. And by that, I mean 5 hours. Four and a half, actually.
He's running out of time. So if you're Will, and they make any move by 4:22.
Oh, I'm storming back to Twitter.
And you're celebrating any move.
I'm responding to everybody that had anything to say about it. Yeah. I'm quote tweeting everybody. Putting everybody on blast. I'm going into the weekend on a real high note. Yeah.
Yeah, anything.
Anything goes.
What should we be rooting for, Keith? Are we rooting for like a minor? Fizzling out firework?
Yeah.
Are we rooting for nothing? Or are we rooting for like a big move, but at like 4:25 or at like 4:30?
See,
can he take credit for that?
Yes, he can.
At 4:30?
Yes,
no, he can't.
Yes, he can.
No.
Did he? Well, what's the exact tweet say? Do you have it? Was it like roughly 72 hours? Like, there might be. Hopefully you put a caveat
Did he just quit or did he delete his account? Hang on. Let me get it.
No, see, that's the thing. It was a kind of a soft quit. If the account is still active.
It's active.
Yeah, he didn't really quit.
I believe the next 72 hours are going to make a lot of Red Sox fans smile. It wasn't like,
I believe,
72-ish. Yeah, but it wasn't like 72-ish
hours. Oh, no, it was 72.
Pretty firm 72 hours.
Yeah. All right, let's say they...
I'm not the best at math. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 4:22 today would be 72 hours.
No, I know. I know.
Eastern time.
Let's say they sign, for the sake of argument here, they sign Gio Urshela. Do we just call him Smiles the rest of the way?
Yes.
That's his now his nickname. Nice. It's like, hey, that's...
We have to contact Baseball Reference and say, the man has a new nickname. It's Smiles.
Hey, listen, out of nowhere, Gio Urshela signed.
Smiley Urshela.
Smiley Urshela. He's now on the squad. Because that's the other thing. Is like, depending on who it is, you could argue whether or not that would create a smile for somebody. I think Pete Alonso obviously would have been pretty easy, but there are some other names the Sox have been linked to. I think might achieve that as well. And then there are others a little bit more of a nuance. A little bit more of like a... Oh, they got Kike Hernandez back. Not going to smile. I don't want to.
He didn't smile much the one time I interviewed him. I can tell you that.
Oh, he didn't like that?
No, he wasn't.
Was the line of questioning inappropriate?
Well, something about could he play shortstop? You know, is he going to be the shortstop? Yeah, no, it turns out they were very valid questions. He didn't like it.
He can't play shortstop. No. Maybe the worst shortstop we've ever seen.
He's really just a bench player, is what he is. He's a utility player, is what he is.
But
no
clutch.
Offense to Kike.
He had the clutch gene.
Yeah, big time.
Clutch gene, big time.
Yep.
It's passed down, they say.
I think Gio, what's his name again?
Urshela?
Yeah, Smiles.
Smiles.
I think his agent would be smiling if they got the deal
anywhere.
Done. Yeah, anywhere. Just anywhere.
He's got a team.
Speaking of the agents, good update here from Sean McAdam.
Okay.
Speaking in general terms and not specifically about the failed Alonso talks, McAdam writes, one prominent agent noted to Mass Live that the Red Sox, quote, don't believe in long-term deals.
Awesome. No, we got that sense,
They don't believe
in
them.
What?
This is not something they believe in.
So yes and no. They don't believe in them in free agency. That's very clear over the last couple of years. They are still willing to do long-term deals. And I'm not giving them credit for this because I know fans, everyone's going to be like, well, it's only because they're saving money in the long run. But they did lock up Garrett Crochet, Sandin Raffaello, Brian Bello, Roman Anthony to what are long-term deals.
Yep.
And at least they're not playing the arbitration game with some of those guys.
You're right. For free agents, they don't believe in
long-term. Free agents, they don't.
Yeah.
Because that was my point yesterday on, like, yes, you give them credit for signing Alex Bregman last year, but they also didn't give Alex Bregman the most years or the most total money.
They gave him 1 year.
And they're like, you got 1 year. And he took it. And you're like, okay, like, will he take it again? Probably not.
McAdam writes, the Red Sox under Chaim Bloom signed Trevor Story to a 6-year, $140 million deal. That also had opt-outs. That wasn't a real 6-year, $140 million deal, but he's now opted in. It will be. Since then, the Red Sox have given out one deal longer than 3 years. That's unbelievable. One deal longer than 3 years is all they've done since they signed Trevor Story? It was Masa Yoshida, 5 years, $90 million. Even that pact, writes McAdam, didn't reach nine figures. They've extended a number of their own players like Crochet, et cetera, et cetera. He's talking about free agents, right? The biggest contract to someone outside the organization was a 3-year, $120 million deal for Bregman. But as we know, that deal included opt-outs. And, it was really a glorified 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So Who do we blame for that? They don't believe in long-term free agent contract. Just Henry? That's not like potentially a Breslow thing.
I guess it could be. That feels like more of a money restraint than it does an overall. Like,
I agree. I don't want to let my guy Breslow off the hook on that one. Like,
but also if
he might not believe in it. They're models and aging thing. And
that's dumb. That's really dumb for a guy that I think is smart, because if you're Breslow, how long was the guy that you took over? How long was he here for? How long was the guy that was there before him here for? So like, I'm not going to sign a 7-year deal because I don't think it's good business. You're not going to be here for 7 years.
No.
You might as well get the best players you can when you can.
Seven.
So I think it's more of a money restriction and like long-term money. And it's also why we should have known this. And maybe some of us did. The moment they were like, we're not re-signing Mookie Betts. That was it. Now, then they got sort of bullied into signing Devers, so you sort of were like, oh, maybe doing this.
It was before that for me.
Okay.
When Dombrowski left, and I think he left. I don't think he was fired. I think he's like, screw this. I'm not operating under your budget. We can't compete that way. When Dombrowski left, I threw a fit. And people were not like universally against that move. There were a lot of people who were like, he's ruined the farm system. He doesn't understand. It's not sustainable. There was a lot of that with Dombrowski. Trust me, I argued with all those people. Yep. I'm sure you did too.
Yep.
I said when they fired Dombrowski, or again, where he quit, I think, walked out, I was like, this tells you what they're going to do. And I didn't realize it would be this bad, where now they can't hand out deals beyond 3 years, and they don't, quote-unquote, believe in long-term deals outside the organization. And even Pete Alonso, which by all metrics is a pretty reasonable contract compared to the big ones.
What is long-term, you think?
I never thought it'd get this, but apparently beyond 3 years. Yeah. The only one they've signed is Yoshida.
Like, you're just not going to get great players that way.
You can't sign a four or a five-year deal. I get it. You're like 8, 9, 10-year deals. Those
15?
Those are bad business.
15 for Juan Soto? Yeah.
Seven is dominated nuts, the world. Though.
Seven is nuts.
I think you should sign those for the right players. But if you want to say those are bad business, you're probably right. I think history would back you up. You can't sign 4 and 5 year deals.
No, I'm with you. There should be a fine line there. And you know, like Xander Bogaerts, for example, the second he signed the deal that he signed with San Diego, even as Red Sox fans, we're all like, that's dumb. Like, that is insane. And he was bad right away.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't even good for a couple of years. Usually you're like, you sign a 10-year deal, you get 6 great years, an okay year, and then you're like, oh, we're kind of just eating this contract for 2 or 3. It happens all the time. Happens with pitchers all the time. It happened with hitter. Manny Ramirez is one of the few guys that signed an 8-year deal and was sick for 8 years.
Yeah.
Then it fell right off a cliff, but he was awesome that whole contract. Not everybody is like that. It is kind of the cost of doing business. You need to capitalize on the time that you have those guys when they're in their prime. But if you say we're not involved in that, you know, this is also the same organization that at one point said we don't want starting pitchers over 30. And then they had to change that.
Well, the
one, they're like, who are you going to get?
The one good thing about Henry, and I've been saying this for like 5 years, so I'm pretty much done saying it, but I'll bring it up. You just said it. Well, we're not going to sign pitchers over 30 to long-term deals. They didn't. That was their justification for letting Lester go, and then they overcompensated and brought in David Price.
Yeah.
So at some point, well, we're not signing players like Mookie Betts to these contracts, and then they signed Devers. So
I think they regretted it right away.
100%.
Yeah.
The second that pen hit the paper, they're like, what have we done?
Son of a gun. They're like, we got to find a way to get rid of him, and they did.
So, you know, I guess there's always the chance that he pivots back, and maybe after a potential work stoppage, that would be then. He's done it his entire ownership. He's done it. But I'm not holding my breath on that one. I feel like we had a good idea of the Red Sox budget. I still can't believe Pete Alonso doesn't fit into that budget.
He's the perfect player. He was the perfect contract. He was like the perfect everything.
For half the money at Devers.
Too good to be true.
Yeah. I mean, that still baffles me that even that, they're like, we can't go beyond 3 years.
At least you get to see him a lot in Baltimore.
That'll be good. 617-779-7937. T's and P's to our guy Will. He's got 4.5 hours.
What are you talking about? He's got time.
4 hours and 24 minutes.
So there's been buzzer beaters in the history of
23
sports.
23 minutes. 4 hours and 23 minutes is what you're down to, Will, to make us smile.
Walk-off home run, as it were. Maybe it's the David Ortiz of predictions.
It just happened in the World Series. It just happened.
That's right.
617-779-7937. Or at least, I guess that was a game-tying one. I'm sorry. We'll get to all your
points.
In the game, significant home run.
We all watch the World Series. Yeah. It's not. Oh, well, they do have a pitch clock, though.
Good point.
In your face.
It is now kind of a time sport. Well, that's fair. 617-779-7937. Jump in on all this. What are the Red Sox doing? Lingering thoughts on the Celtics and the Bruins. You can get to it. Plus, our thoughts on Patriots and Bills. Who you got on Sunday? That's next.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
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 What is insurance?
Insurance transfers certain risks between parties.
Without insurance, the economy would really stop.
In simple terms, insurance is like community.
It's protecting every last asset that somebody has built over a lifetime.
You're in it together. You feel supported.
From the beginning to the end.
What insurance is, just taking care of people, is definitely a way of life.
Cross Insurance. Our way of life since 1954.
When it comes to your health, you want someone on your side. That's where CVS comes in. Our trusted pharmacists are here to answer your questions and can help you explore ways to save on prescriptions for you and your family. CVS has convenient locations right in your neighborhood with pharmacists ready to get to know you, with most locations open 7 days a week. With morning, noon, and evening hours, it's easy to stop by whenever you need. Where you get your medicine matters. So visit cvs.com/transfer to fill your next prescription. Store hours vary by location. Not all patients are eligible for savings. See cvs.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.